Good to see you folks, you know, and a great blessing is Wayne. I didn't realize he'd had some other problems last week, you know, unrelated to his surgery, but I've been praying for him, and so good to see him teaching Sunday school. And a lot of y'all got a lot of needs, a lot of prayer needs for physical problems, and God's able to deal with them and to meet them. And I thank you for being here this morning, and good to see you folks, and holding your own. And we've held our own at Bluestone for 10 months now. Still don't have a preacher, but we're holding on. Y'all can be faithful, and that's a good thing to see. Just be faithful during this time. You know, keep coming to church, keep blessing, do your programs, have your Bible school. Just act like you got a preacher, even though you don't have one, and God will bless you for it. Well, tonight, I want you to be back. I'm going to bring a message of Paul and Silas. I could entitle it From Prison to Praise, or How to Get Out of the Circumstances When They Have You in Prison in Life. So be back tonight, if you will. Be back faithful for that. I want to share a message this morning. A lot of information in it. But you know, a week from this coming Wednesday will be the 4th of July. The 4th of July. And I've entitled this message this morning, What Price Victory? What Price Victory? 1776, July the 4th, 56 men met and signed the Declaration of Independence that began our great country. These men were for the most part well educated. Most of them were wealthy. 24 were lawyers and jurists, and 9 were farmers that owned large plantations. 11 were merchants. As with pen in hand, they signed this document that founded our great country. They realized they're risking everything. If they won, it would mean years of hardship in a struggling new nation. If they lost, they would face the hangman's noose as a traitor. As the sound of the gunshots began, they began to pay a price. 5 were captured by the British and tortured before dying. 12 men had homes looted or destroyed by the enemy. 9 fled from the hardships of war. You see what it cost some others. Counter Braxton was a wealthy plantation owner from Virginia. He saw his ships sunk and sold his home and all his property to pay debts and died in rags. Thomas McKean of Delaware, harassed by the enemy, moved his family 5 times in 5 months. He served in Congress without pay, and his family in poverty and hiding. Thomas Nelson Jr. raised $2 million on his own signature to provision the French fleet as an ally, but he was never reimbursed by the government. He sold his entire estate to pay the loan and is buried in an unmarked grave. John Hart was driven from his wife's dying side. For more than 1 year, he lived in the forest and in caves. He returned home to find his wife dead and the children gone and his property worthless. And he died a few weeks later of exhaustion and a broken heart. John Hancock, one of the wealthy men of New England, he said, "Burn, Boston, burn, though it makes me a beggar." One of the wealthy men there of New England. They considered liberty, you see, more important than their own personal security, their own lives, their own fortunes, and sacred honor. They paid the price and freedom was born. And today in America, we're seeing our freedoms rapidly taken away from us day by day. Newspapers that give us lies and fake news that we see. People that have hatred in their hearts. Just read the news and see it every day. People throwing out of restaurants to go eat, you know, because of Trump or don't like the president or whatever else. The Supreme Court. Liberal politicians, somebody said it's not a case of Republicans against Democrats, it's a case of socialists against freedom. And we're finding that today that I would never believe. I wrote this message, some parts of it, 38 years ago in Lilburn, Georgia, when I was a preacher there. And I remember my heart was broken and tears clouded my eyes as I met with concerned Christians for good government. They focused on the foundations of our country that were crumbling, and it broke my heart. Now today we look at what compared to some 38 years ago, and what do we see? Sodom and Gomorrah in America. The LG, the folks there, the LGBT that march in parades, I saw some results of one and review, and what a horrible thing. If you had a child, you didn't want them sitting on the side to watch that parade the way they were dressed and the way they did. Same-sex marriage in 2015. Removal of Christ from everything. Trying to take guns away and deny the Second Amendment. Suing bakeries. And last year, what the fella did in December, I guess, had to pay $135,000, the baker in Oregon, because he wouldn't make a cake for a couple of gay folks there. Removing God from everywhere. You know, it was, Anita Bright in 1977 made a comment about homosexuals, and you know, she lost her backing of the Citrus Committee or Citrus Group down in Florida. She was persecuted back then. And then look what we've got today, how far the awfulness and the sinfulness of sin has taken place. Andrew Jackson made this story or statement. The Bible serves a foundation upon which the republic stands. And the Bible says, we know, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Dr. Raven Wilbert said, if America goes down, this was 1980, it will be not be under the impact of a megaton missile, but the final collapse of that inner moral structure that makes a nation great. Well, we look at what's taking place. Obama made a statement in Turkey in 2008. He said, America is not a Christian nation, but made up of all different people. Well, he's totally wrong. Either he hadn't read the history books or he's read ones that were full with humanism. He made a statement that it's made up of all kind of people, like Muslims and the founding of America. The only thing Muslims had to do with the founding of America was the Barbary pirates that our sailors had to go and defeat them and get them out of the situation. That's the only comments you find of Muslims involved when America was young and beginning. America was founded as a Christian nation based upon Bible principles, based upon laws taught in the Bible. May we travel back in time once more to the time before July the 4th, 1776. Let's go to the time of 1620, where Bible-toting pilgrims joined the Mayflower and set strange for a new world. 9 weeks of traveling, some 102 people crowded on this ship, which was 113 feet long, and the ship was 26 feet wide. It'd be like having 102 people living in a 3,000-square-foot house, and you know what that would be today. They land in New England at a bitter cold time. They see half of their number dying to the first 5 months. They bury them at night in unmarked graves so the Indians won't know that they have less people. And you say, why? Why? They did this that they might come to a country and worship God in freedom and not have a state church as they did in England. They could choose who they were, they wanted to go and where to worship. They celebrated for 3 days Thanksgiving. They sang hymns and read the scriptures and thanked God for what He provided. In homes, they read and reread the sacred book. Their schools had the only textbooks was the Bible. And then we move on to March 23rd, 1775. An address given in the old church in Richmond with statements such as fulfill the great responsibility which we hold to God in our country. And then we hear, as Patrick Henry says, Almighty God, I know not what courses others may take, but for me, give me liberty or give me death. We could go on to the Battle of Bunker Hill, 1775 in June, the first real battle in the Revolution. Let's go to a farmhouse. A farmhouse where a stranger has come as a guest, where devotions were over, and the farmer lit a pine knot to show the guest to his room. The walls were thin between the farmer's house and the guest room where the neighbor or the stranger was staying. Through the thin wall, they could hear their guest in private devotions. He was thanking the Lord for the newfound friends. And you can hear him pray. Grant the petition of thy servant for the sake of him thou hast called by thy beloved son. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Amen. That man, General George Washington, soon to become the first president of the United States. Our country has been blessed in so many ways, and God's been honored, but times have changed. Go forward to 2018. it's wrong to pray before a football game. I used to get goosebumps when they raised the American flag at Plant High School in Tampa, and I sat on the players' bench there, and someone sang the national anthem, and the flag was flying in the dark evening there, and the spotlight was on it, and I'd get goosebumps, and now they're not supposed to do that anymore. They want to remove from the grave sites crosses for our soldiers. Christmas has changed to a holiday and a holiday tree instead of a Christmas tree. Jesus is Lord is put on benches in a town by a church and they make them remove them. Pray in Jesus' name in a public meeting is wrong. You got to be politically correct today. And that's affecting our First Amendment. Everybody trying to keep people from saying anything to offend someone else. But they don't mind to offend Christians today in America. You folks like you and me and make fun and laugh at us. Psalm 33:12 says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance. Let's take a quick look at two leaders this morning. You might call them presidents, but they're kings. Daniel chapter 5, verse 1. Turn to Daniel chapter 5 and verse 1, if you will, and we'll give a little story on what's happening here. It's Belshazzar. Belshazzar is the king, the son of Nebuchadnezzar. And he makes a great feast and has 1,000 of his lords to feast with him. But they take the vessels of the Lord's house, those of silver and gold and beautiful ones, and they offer praise to false gods. Toast to gods of gold and silver and wood and stone and iron and brass. As they celebrate, a finger appears on the wall of the palace. And it writes some words. The king calls in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, his soothsayers, but to no avail. The queen recommends Daniel be called in. In verse 18, Daniel says this, God gave your father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. Verse 20, but his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride. And he was removed from his king's throne because of this. His dwelling was with the wild asses. Verse 22. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, thou hast not humbled thine heart, though you knew all that happened to your father and all the wrong he did. Verse 27, thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. Verse 28, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. And in verse 30, in the night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain, and he lost his kingdom. He left God out, folks. He corrupted the temple. He corrupted the temple items. He praised the false gods of wood and stone instead of worshiping the Lord God Jehovah and leading his people the same way. And folks, that's what's happening in America today. By our media, the liberal media, by the humanists, which have no right and wrong and whatever you want to do is all right. That which is taught in many of our school systems. That's it says there's no absolutes anymore. It's clearly taught in the blessed book. Remember seeing a picture of not football players that we see, but a Muslim woman sitting in the stands as the national anthem was played and she sat and didn't stand. Brother, if she can't do that, let her go back to where she came from, I say. Let them go back. If they can't honor our country. Someone, I put on Facebook a thing about about the immigrants and all. And someone said this, well, our forefathers came over here, and you need to realize that. Yeah, our forefathers came over here the right way, the legal way. And they went through Ellis Island, or they went by the Statue of Liberty, and they didn't try and learn a different language. They learned our language, and they kept our laws, and they didn't cost us any money. And I'm saying that's the right way, the legal way you come, and that's the way it ought to be no matter what. Let me take you, though, to another king, another president. Turn to Jonah chapter 3. Jonah chapter 3 and verse 4. And it says, and he, Jonah, cried, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown, a little over a month. Judgment's coming, Jonah says. The greatest revival that there was, they said some 600,000 people probably lived in Nineveh. And here is Jonah, that's going to be the greatest revival preacher, if you want to say that. And he lost it all because of bitterness in his heart. So the people of Nineveh, in verse 5, believe God. It's always great when leaders in a nation and a people believe God. And they proclaimed a fast from the greatest of them to the least of them, all the folks. the top of the ladder, those in fame, those with riches, those that were poor, to the lowest of the ladder. Verse 9, it says, and the king, or verse 6, the king of Nineveh took off his kingly robe. He put pride and position and fame aside for his sake and the sake of the people. And he covered himself with sackcloth made from the skin of goats, itchy, a sign of mourning, and ashes he poured on his head. In verse 7, he publishes a decree that no one, including animals, are to drink or eat anything, but both be covered with sackcloth and ashes, all black, all covered with gray, the ashes. Even the animals would be bellowing. Nobody was to eat. Nobody was to be drinking. As the people would hear the animals in the field wanting something to drink or food to eat. And they cried mightily unto God and turned everyone from his evil way. In verse 9, we don't want God angry against us. We don't want to perish as a people. In verse 10, God saw their work, that they turned from their evil ways, and God repented of the evil that He'd said He would do unto them, and He did it not. Oh, that we might find leaders in America that might honor God and honor His Word. I appreciate Vice President Pence claims to be a Christian, and that's a great influence on President Trump and all the other people that are there. Well, what can we do as Christians? Well, there's a scripture that says, let us not remove the old landmarks. Don't remove the old landmarks. I thought about that. They've taken everything of Confederate people down, want to take the Stone Mountain Monument, have it erased or something like that. You know, you can't erase history. That doesn't do anything. And yet, people today that are foolish and people that are liberal and people don't understand. Well, what can we do? We can go back to the old-fashioned way, where you paid your debts as quickly as possible, and you went without things to do it. Well, you discipline your children with a good old spanking, but you discipline yourself first. When you spent less than you earned and demanded the government do the same. When you went to church and Sunday school and didn't send your children, you took them with you. When you expected to prosper by doing the best job that you could on the job. When you obeyed the law, kept your word, were honest. A man's word was his bond. I was at a funeral yesterday of a friend of mine that died. He never learned to read or write. He was 84 years old. He never drove a car. He never married. He stayed in the old farmhouse on James Springs Road. Bob James did, and he looked after the cows with his dog, his little dog, Little Bit. I fished in the Hudson River with him for catfish, went to the creek and caught red horse minnows in a trap he had there, and hunted on the property. But Bob, a simple man, Bob's gone now. But you know, someone at the funeral was telling me that he sold a boat, a pontoon boat, and he sold it on a handshake. The man said, I'll be back 6 weeks later when I get some certain money in, and I'll pay you. The man drove off with the boat, and this man told me, he said, you know what? 6 weeks later to the date, there he was at my door giving me the money. Oh, honesty, how much that means today that we don't get very much. We don't get it in the news. You don't know what to believe now, and whatever you have, Facebook or the news or whatever. But thankful for folks that were honest. When the neighbors were sick, you were there to harvest the crops for them. When you tried to follow the good book and its teachings, and a Bible verse was read in school and opening exercises, and the Pledge of Allegiance given in school in a time of prayer, and you bowed your head at the football games as we used to. This is what brought this country to greatness. Through two world wars, built it back from a shattering depression, fed and save the civilized world. If that's old hat, let it be. But it needs to be resurrected. We need to go back to the old-fashioned home. A home to grow good citizens. Those who fought to defend our freedoms in America. Freedom of speech, of worship, of bearing arms, and fought in wars. Because freedom is not free. It's fought for, and it's died for. A chaplain dressed a young soldier's wounds. The bridge of his nose had been shot off, and both his eyes were blinded. A young man standing by the medic was afraid to say anything out loud. He whispered to the medic, he said, that boy'll never see again. And the wounded soldier overheard it and replied, if I had two more eyes, I would give them gladly to keep my country free. Folks, America was founded by a great price that was spent. And founded in the world wars and World War I and World War II. And we can go on to Afghanistan and Iraq and other places where men have died to keep you and I free. And yet so many today want to take the freedom away and just bring back things that are wrong and against the Bible and against God. We got to go back to homes where children learn the Ten Commandments. Mom and Dad pray. They have a time of fellowship and prayer around the table. Sing gospel songs. Taught to respond to authority, to honor their parents, and obey mom and dad. Where love is mutual and respect's in the home, and dad shows he loves his wife, where the home is a place of refuge and a battlefield, not a battlefield, and dad is the spiritual leader. There's a lot wrong with our country. We know that. There are taxes to be paid, crime on the rise, government handouts that produce a lot of lazy people in some cases, abortions, homosexuality, same-sex marriage, removal of God. But through it all, we need to be thankful that we still have a free country compared to others. There are more Americans that respect the Bible and its moral teachers and values than those that don't. America is still the freedom to worship God in the church of your choice, the right to vote for whomever you please, to give people a peace of mind and still have a piece of yours left. Go to baseball games and eat peanuts. Take a couple of digs at the umpire. Enjoy good old apple pie a la mode. And have a steady job and a car to go sightseeing and a garden to plant and putter in. This is our country. May we as Christians stand up for our faith. May we live as an example to others. May we defend it from those who want to bring it down, either within our country or from outside. And, oh Lord, please bless our country once more. Folks, and we come to a closing, there's no use to grieve about the decline of our nation until you yourself turn to Christ, to trust and to love and to serve Him. There's no making a godly nation until we have godly individuals who've been washed in the blood of Christ and taken Him as their own personal Savior. Last Monday night in jail, I had a full house, a lot of people there in my group. Some guys went to prison. Some got 20 years to serve with no parole. Some got 15 years. I have the worst guys in Madison County in the jail group I have. But you know, when the invitation I gave, two hands slipped up. I asked them if they'd like to accept Christ as their Savior, and I told them how they could pray a simple prayer of faith. And I got through and I said, fellas, if you prayed to ask the Lord your Savior tonight, I want you to slip your hand up. And two hands went up. I checked with Levi from another pod. How'd you do, Levi? How'd God touch hearts? He said, we had two in my pod. And I was so thankful. There's four people. Four people if they meant it with the Lord. Four people if they trusted Christ as they said they did. Four people in the future whenever they get out or even in prison to help make America great again because they know Jesus as their Savior. And I'd ask you this morning, do you know Him as your Savior? Have you been born again? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? I've taken and gone through jail and sometimes I said, I'm not going to do it for y'all, but say, hey, James over there, have you trusted Christ? 1982 it was. I don't know why they do things they do. It's the devil. And let me say this too. And you know what's happening in America? All the kids getting shot in the schools and all. I think it's demons in people myself. I believe it's the devil. I think his time is short. I know Jesus can come back any moment. And I think what we're seeing, these people are possessed by demons, really. And that's what's causing the horrible things that you never believed would happen. Innocent people being shot for no reason at all. No motive, no nothing, just to kill people. Well, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, that's the answer to building a great America, a great country. And I don't know if you do this morning, I'll give you a chance in a little bit to say, Brother Smith, pray for me that I might get it settled. If I go out of here and have a wreck, I want to know I'm going to heaven and I'm not going to hell. I want to get it settled. Old Bob was a simple man that died. He couldn't read or write. They picked him up, though, and took him to Danielsville Evangelical Church. Somebody did every Sunday. Bob'd sit there on the church, and he'd walk out. Sometimes he'd say nothing to the preacher. Bob stuttered a little bit. It's hard to understand. The preacher preached his funeral yesterday and said Bob was a simple man, but he loved the Lord as his Savior, a humble man, and what a great blessing that was. You can have a new beginning this morning, too. And then as a Christian, let me ask you this. You need to stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ today. Don't be part of the silent majority. Take a stand and speak up for things. And I'm amazed that even on Facebook, and I have some friends that are not very conservative from high school, and they'll say things that I would be amazed they'd even say. They're standing up for their liberality. And you know, we as Christians are so often so quiet, and we just sit back, and we do nothing. And here's this crowd, 3% of the population of America are homosexuals or lesbians. And look at all the trouble they've created because they're so noisy. I think it's time we get to be a little bit noisy and we stand for things and people hear what we've got to say as Christians and not be silent anymore. I'm reminded of the Lord Jesus when he chased the money changers out of the temple. I preached the message here on that. You don't hear many messages about that. But here was God in human flesh that was upset about his house being made a house of thievery and it's to be a house of prayer. And he took a whip and started whipping on the people and whipping on the animals. Everybody fell and ran out. This is Jesus Christ. There's a time for righteous indignation for her, folks. And this is a time in America for Christians to have righteous indignation against sin and against that's what's wrong and against that which is against God's Word. So stand up as a Christian. Let your voice be heard today. Don't sit back with your hands folded and wait till it comes to your front door, because it will if we don't do anything as we should. Well, I don't know, as a Christian, maybe you need to come to the old-fashioned altar and pray for our country. Pray for President Trump. He's caught more flack than anybody I can ever remember as a president. You know, everybody against him. And he's trying. You know what someone said this? They said Trump is not, if it be right, Trump is not a Democrat. He's not a Republican. He's a pragmatist. Now, they've quoted it to the Fox News guy that died. Someone said it was somewhere else. But you know what's a pragmatist? He sees a problem and has a vision to solve the problem and is focused on solving the problem. That's what a pragmatist is. And I honestly believe with Trump, he sees this over here. Here's a problem in our country. He wants to deal with it, and he does. And he goes up here, be it putting the capital in Jerusalem or the embassy, and he does that hadn't been done. That's a pragmatist. Sees a problem, wants to solve the problem, and he does. You pray for President Trump. I don't know if he's saved or not at all. I know Pence is a good influence on him. But all I can say, you pray for our president at this time too. Well, whatever you as a Christian need to do this morning, come forward. We want you to come forward and pray. And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I'd like to pray for you. And I'd like you to come forward and get it settled today. This could be the greatest 4th of July in your life coming up today, this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for our country. And we've seen, Lord, in the 38 years since I prepared part of this message, we've seen how further down we've gone as a country. But Lord, you're in control. Jesus, you're coming back any moment, perhaps today. And Lord, we can see things turned around. If Christians will stand and Christians will pray and Christians will stand up for what's right and what's godly and for the Bible and don't let the few liberal people come in and take In God We Trust off of deputies' sheriff cars, or off the park benches. May we stand firmly and in love.